Hello, Will and Steve.
I don't like what you've said and done.
I'm not a fan.
I'm ashamed of you.
Specifically you, Will.
You've misinterpreted everything.
Obviously.
My name's Will.
And my name's Steve.
You haven't got time to read War and Peace.
Even if it is one of the greatest novels of all time.
587,000 words.
612 grams.
That's the weight of the book.
500 characters.
361 chapters.
3 volumes.
2 epilogues. And a collection of maps.
We're going to summarise all of it for you.
This is War and Peace
in just 7 years.
We're back.
We are back. Welcome, everyone.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome to the first special episode of season 3 of War and Peace in just 7 years.
We hope you're okay.
We just hope you're okay.
It is nice to have time away from Will once in a while. I'll say that.
And look, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I'd like to say the same thing.
That's so sweet. That's so sweet.
Steve, this is a new book.
Oh, the specials. I do enjoy the specials.
Oh.
A little taste into what, you know, an alternate reality where instead of doing War and Peace, we do some other book.
The multiverse. And last time, Steve got to read the special Lord of the Flies, and this time it's me.
I enjoyed Lord of the Flies. So, Will, what have we got this week?
Well, I'm going to give you, listeners, some clues.
I mean, they already know from the title. But
oh, God, the title! Oh, I had... Look, I'm going to do it anyway.
All right, then. All right. What will it be?
Ooh.
I love you haven't thought this through.
I hadn't thought it through at all. Published in 1813 and set in 1812 in Hertfordshire, this book has never been out of print for 200 years. It sold over 20 million copies.
We're talking about, of course, Harry Potter.
Nope.
No.
Pride and Prejudice. It's been adapted into maybe 700 million movies and
films,
TV shows,
radio dramas, podcasts.
Podcasts. The English bloody love it. Nay, the world loves it. It's a romantic novel about manners.
Okay.
And that's not my words. That's the words of Wikipedia.
As we've seen, Will, from doing War and Peace, we've learned a couple of things.
Mm.
One, books with and in the title, and then two...
antonyms.
Things, yeah.
Yeah.
Then that's a good combination.
We like that setup.
Two, withhold your judgment, because, you know, it might seem like the parties and all that stuff
is
boring and pointless.
It might seem.
But actually, it's all going somewhere.
It all goes somewhere. Important. And Steve and I pride ourselves on our manners, so I'm sure we're gonna love a book inspired by manners.
This is where I learn all of my manners. I actually haven't read it. Have you read it?
I haven't read it.
No, either. I haven't read it. Well, that's obviously important to say. We haven't read this book.
We haven't read it. I actually haven't even seen a film, TV, or comic book adaptation.
I'm sure I have at some point. I can't imagine I've avoided it, but I can't, truth be told, remember what happens.
Steve, there's one word to say, and I'm gonna let you say it.
Onwards.
Lovely.
The reading.
Now, Steve, I'm not actually going to read the first line of Pride and Prejudice in this bit because it's one of the most famous opening lines of all time.
There was pride.
And boy, and was there prejudice.
There was prejudice too. And nobody liked it.
It is more than I engage for, I assure you.
A lot of people like Pride and Prejudice and Jane Austen stuff, and, you know, you can't blame him.
Can't blame him, Steve. That's top quality journalism from you there.
There's a whole website devoted to stuff. Regency dress-up.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
I hope Mr. Bingley will like it, Lizzie.
A cotton nightdress? We could get you a nice bonnet, Will.
I am not afraid, for though I am the youngest, I'm the tallest.
Struggling to find anything very funny to say.
You have struggled, Steve. Boy, have you struggled. What a contrast between him and his friend. I'm guessing that's what people say about you and I.
Okay. Here's some surprising facts. I've got six quick surprising facts.
You're
about
just gonna
Jane
do
Austen.
One, though.
Jane Austen's dad did everything he could to help her.
Lovely.
Jane Austen's works were published anonymously.
Okay.
Jane Austen backed out of a marriage of convenience.
Okay.
Jane Austen took a decade off.
Oh, wow. Hang on. Let's pause there. Make a note of that.
Which, given that she died at the age of 41.
Oh, was a
unfortunately
bad
yeah.
business decision.
And Jane Austen used straight pins to edit her manuscripts.
I must have you dance, Steve. I must. I simply must have a dance with you. And on that, you must stop.
I will stop, but I did promise you six.
Oh, it doesn't matter. We never get to
six
the number.
Six is really good, though.
You've locked it into the edit.
Jane Austen was an accomplished home brewer. Apparently.
Oh, my God.
She brewed her own beer.
The Jane Austen IPA.
Her favourite was spruce beer. Anyway, oh. Will.
Yep.
You've just read Jane Austen, The Start of Jane Austen.
It's not what the book's called, Steve.
sorry, I've got Jane Austen on the brain.
Well, you've just read the famous Jane Austen.
You've just read Leo Tolstoy, and how was it? You've just read the start of Pride and Prejudice, one of the greatest books ever written.
Yep.
How was it? Was it any good?
Oh, it was brilliant. I read the first three chapters. Now, Steve, the opening line of Pride and Prejudice Yeah. is so well known
Yeah.
that it's become a cliche.
Uh-huh.
And this is where it gets fun, because we're going to test you.
I hope I get it right.
On getting it right, or of course, getting it wrong.
Right.
It is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a good fortune Yeah. must be in want.
Oh, well, I can guess this. I have kind of heard this before. I thought it was going to be,
Yep.
it was the best of times. Yeah, they were the worst. I thought it was going to be that.
I knew you were thinking it was going to be that.
Yeah, no, it's not that. They were a wife. A wife.
A wife must be in want of a wife. Not going to argue with that. Steve, we're on a street.
Oh.
I put in my notes somewhere, but after my Wikipedia-ing, I now know we're in Hertfordshire.
North of London.
Just a little bit north of London. We're with husband and wife, Mr. and Mrs. Bennett.
Lovely.
And they're gossiping.
What are they gossiping about?
You're good at this. You're good. Little background info on the characters.
Yeah.
Mr. Bennett. He's got sarcastic humour, reserve and caprice.
I like him.
Mrs. Bennett. She has a mean understanding, little information and uncertain temper.
Ooh. What is caprice?
And what is reserve? You keep going. Steve, have you heard that Netherfield Park is let at last?
Oh, yes.
Have you heard that?
Let at last?
It's been let at last.
Let at last.
It's been let at last.
Finally, it's been let out.
It's been let out. Do you not want to know who has taken it?
I would love to know.
You'd love to know, wouldn't you, Steve? Okay, well, it's been taken by a man.
Oh.
He's young.
Oh.
He's rich.
Oh.
He's from the north.
Oh. Keep talking.
He owns a chaise,
oh.
which is a carriage.
Okay, I thought you were going to say shed.
He's got a big shed.
He's got a big carriage, okay.
He's got a lovely collection of servants.
Rich. He's got a nice carriage. He's from the north.
Yeah.
I like him.
You like him. Do you want to know anything else?
Yeah, how did he get it?
Well, he came down, good question, on his chaise.
Okay, I sure could have guessed that one.
Yeah.
Stupid question. wasted my one question.
You wasted it.
Wasted it.
So if you're a detective, Steve, so far you've got young, rich, and from the north, and he's got a car.
Yeah.
Do you want to know anything else?
Has there been a crime?
There's been no crime.
And probably I'll close the investigation there then in that case. Seeing as there's not been a crime.
That's fair.
Police are very busy these days.
The police are very busy. Well, Steve, you don't want any more information, but I'm going to give it to the listeners.
Oh, I want to know. What's he wearing? Is he wearing a nice hat?
One can only assume that he's dressed well, because Austen doesn't go into the quite terrifying amount of detail for character description that Tolstoy does.
Hmm. We don't know anything about his hands.
We know nothing about the state of his hands. But we do know his name, Steve. And he is called Mr. Bingley.
Mr. Bingley?
Steve, is Mr. Bingley married or is he single?
Well, you've mentioned all the servants he's brought down with him. He's come in just one carriage.
Yeah.
That's not enough for two people all the servants and everything. So I'm going to say he's as single as they come.
Oh, single, my dear, to be sure. A single man of large fortune, 4,000 or 5,000 a year. Wow. What a fine thing for our girls.
Lucky, lucky girls.
Lucky girls.
Wow.
Steve, Mrs. Bennett has a plan. Care to guess what it is?
Mrs. Bennett. Okay, so she's not going to try and get married, but some of her daughters women she knows, I think Mr. Bingley's in the sights, wedding sights.
We've been here many times before in War and Peace.
Yeah, it's classic stuff. Mrs. Bennett now is the spirit sister of Vasily.
She absolutely is.
And we all know where Vasily wants to go. It is Disneyland. So is there that kind of thing here? Is Disneyland mentioned?
Disneyland isn't specifically mentioned, but I'm sure if she does succeed in her plan, which is, of course, to marry one of her daughters, she will reward herself with a trip. So she tells her husband the way to enact this plan to marry off one of their daughters to the young, rich, northern Mr. Bingley.
He's wonderful.
Is to send Mr. Bennett round to say, "Hello, mate, how's it going?"
Okay, yeah, that's a good start.
Yeah, Mr. Bennett doesn't really want to.
No.
I see no occasion for that. You and the girls may go, or you may send them by themselves, which perhaps will be still better, for as you are as handsome as any of them.
That's sweet. He's a charmer, is Mr. Bennett.
He's a nice guy, I think.
But he's just getting out of that because he's also a bit lazy.
Yeah, he's basically saying, look, you're really pretty.
You're so pretty. Why don't I just stay here?
I'd rather not go.
You're so pretty. I'm going back to bed. I'm so pretty.
Go home. This little chat continues, Steve, and we're given some of their daughters' names. They got five daughters. We've got Lizzie, Jane, Lydia. We won't find out the other two for a while. But based on those names alone, Steve, whom do you think Mr. Bennett gives the best odds to? Lydia, Jane, or Lizzie?
Well, I haven't got any information on them at all. So I would say Lydia.
You're going with Lydia. Incorrect.
Okay, I just went for the longest name.
Lizzie. She has something more of a quickness than her sisters.
Okay, so she's smart.
Yeah, or she's fast.
Oh, physically fast.
She could be.
She'll get to the house first and marry him first. Yeah. That's why all the bets are on her.
Honestly, she's just like a rocket, Lizzie.
Incredible, incredible runner.
Incredible, incredible speed.
You can't predict what it is, though, that's going to be the reason that people want to marry each other in these books.
You can't.
Maybe it is fast running and getting to the place fastest.
Maybe they get to Mr. Bing Bing's house and there's a 100-meter track set up.
We don't know. It's a whole sports day thing. We don't know.
Yeah. Whoever wins the egg and spoonie will be my wife. It turns out, Steve, that Mr. Bennett was being a little cheeky chap when he said he wasn't going to go round, because he does go round.
Oh.
But doesn't tell his wife, because I think he's playing a little joke.
Very bad communication.
It's terrible. We're having a little family breakfast with the Bennets, so all of the girls, and they're chatting about, of course, Mr. Bing Bing. And they're saying, but we can't go round because Daddy hasn't been round to see him. Oh. Even though he has, it's very silly.
Does he reveal the infant that?
Oh.
His secret?
Oh, he reveals his big joke shortly. But before we get there, Steve, yeah. What was the title of the first ever episode of Wappin' 7?
I think it was Anna's Cough, if I remember correctly.
Yes, we were very concerned about that cough.
Hasn't come back, that storyline.
Didn't,
regretfully.
Though. But maybe, hear me out, yeah. Maybe books set in the early 1800s always begin with a lady coughing. Kitty, that's one of the daughters.
Yeah.
Kitty has no discretion in her coughs.
Ooh.
She times them ill. I do not cough for my own amusement.
No, she coughs because she has to.
Because she's got a serious cough.
She's seriously ill.
All I'm putting there is a small pin in Kitty's cough.
Can you do an internal sneeze?
I think if you do, your heart just implodes.
Oh, really? I do them quite a lot.
You hold a sneeze in your body.
Probably bad for you. Probably makes your eyes go into your brain or something.
Probably making like little cracks in your skull every time you do it.
Don't people do that?
I don't know, mate.
Sometimes you're in a place where it's not really, wouldn't be good to sneeze.
The sneeze goes into you.
It just stays inside. You capture it.
I think eventually there'll be so many in there, you'd just explode like a nuclear warhead.
Well, that's concerning that you think that.
They're chatting about Mr. Bingley. They're chatting about Kitty with her incredibly serious cough. And then Mr. Bennett explains his hilarious joke that he did go round and see Mr. Bing Bing.
It's very good.
It's a really good joke. Well, how pleased I am. And then his lovely wife, Mrs. Bennett, replies with this. Well, how pleased I am. And it is such a good joke, too.
It is a good joke. Well, I mean, that's something that hasn't been lost to time.
It really has.
That is a good joke.
We've got some gossip from Mrs. Bennett's neighbour about what Mr. Bing Bing looks like.
Okay, you're calling him Mr. Bing Bing.
I've chosen a road.
Oh, you have. Yeah, I find it quite offensive to the good Mr. Bingley from the north.
He's young.
He's got servants.
He's handsome. He's got a car.
And yet you call him Mr. Bing Bing.
I apologise to Mr. Bingley. So, Steve, that gossip really was just what you said. They're just chatting about him. Everyone's chatting about him, but no one's got hard information.
No, everyone's got exactly the same information, which is young. That he's arrived. Yeah. And that, like, maybe someone's seen him like from across a field or something like that. It sounds like beyond that, this is why there wasn't a police investigation, because really, honestly, nothing's happened.
So far, no crime has been committed.
The police will not be investigating this.
You'll be pleased to know, Steve, that Mr. Bingley pays a visit to the Bennetts.
Oh.
He spends 10 minutes with the father in the library. Does sound a bit like Cluedo, that.
Yeah, concerning.
The five daughters all spy on him from the top window.
Okay.
We've got some more info about this, Mr. Bingley. He's wearing a blue coat.
Okay.
And he rides a black horse.
Yes, I would like to name the horse. Yes, Will. Yes. I have to step in case you weren't going to ask me.
Oh, Steve, do you think I wasn't going to ask you? Mr. Bingley's horse, it's a black horse, and it's called...
Is there any more information?
No.
Okay. King Nigel.
King Nigel.
Okay.
So we'll pop that back into the book so it all ties up nicely. Where is it? Here we go. The five daughters were spying from the top window and they saw that he wore a blue coat and rode a black horse called King Nigel. Steve, it's time for a very tame party.
Okay.
Whoop.
I'm ready to chat.
The party's at Mr. Bingley's house.
You know what? Well, it's really nice to go back, basically back to the start of War and Peace.
It is,
after
right?
all that war stuff and all that. So this is nice. This is nice and relaxing. A few parties. No, the stakes seem very low to me. We've named a horse. I'm having a great time.
We're back. This is classic Will and Steve. We're happy here.
I'm so happy and relaxed.
I'm so safe here. Mr. Bingley's prepped for the party by popping back to London to grab some of his cousins and a friend. And now they're back and the party is going to be sick.
Brilliant.
There's so many absolute legends here. We've got Mr. Bingley's brother-in-law, Mr. Hurst.
Oh, there's no first names needed.
He's a real gentleman. And of course, there are others. I'll give you a penny or like a prize, point.
You know, you very, very,
whatever.
Very meager prizes from Will.
I'll give you
one penny.
Prize.
No, you said it. You'll give me one penny.
If you can guess the name of a character who's there, Steve, at this party, because it's the famous one. It's a man who's at the party, at Mr. Bingley's party.
Richard Dawkins.
He is famous.
Einstein?
It's not him.
Mr. Einstein?
Einstein's not there.
When you say it's a famous one, you mean of people that know things.
Yeah, about, people that have information in their heads.
In their brains.
It's, of course, Mr. Darcy.
Oh, I do know that name.
Of course you
it's
do.
It's Mr. Darcy. He's hot, isn't he?
Oh, Steve, is he hot? Yes.
Yes, he is hot.
He is so hot. I agree with the ladies that he is much handsomer than Mr. Bingley.
Mr. Bingley, yeah.
Oh, in comparison, no. Bingley is a slug.
I thought Mr. Bingley was the hot new thing around town.
Oh, he's hot, but Darcy, a whole new layer of hotness.
He's one to watch.
He is one to watch.
30 under 30.
And Steve, there are rumours about Mr. Darcy. You're going to... barely believe this.
No.
That he owns 10,000 a year.
That's an incredibly large amount.
So hot.
That, for context, that's twice as much as the other person.
As Bingley.
As Bingley.
He earns twice as much. He's twice as hot.
He's a catch.
But he's also awful.
Okay.
He's an awful person.
Oh, it's just so hard to choose sometimes, isn't it?
It is. But enough of that for now. Let's party. Mr. Bingley, and it's fair to say this, he is nailing the party. He danced, and I quote, every dance.
That's incredible.
That's awesome. It seems impossible.
Does the man's stamina never end?
The Macarena. He's breakdancing. The Cooper.
Backflip
after backflip.
Doing moonwalks.
like there's no stopping him.
He's doing the splits.
He's just constantly dancing.
He's twirling on the spot around and around.
Ah, like a ballerina.
Incredible.
Yeah? Well, Steve, how many times did Mr. Darcy dance?
It can't be more than all of them, Wildo. Left, fewer, none.
Only twice.
Don't know how many songs there were, but that sounds embarrassing.
Once with Mrs. Hurst and once with Mrs. Bingley. And that's it. Ugh.
Well, that's just the spoken for women.
What an awful guy.
He is a bad guy by the sounds of it.
He doesn't dance with a single, and you called this, eligible lady. He just wanders around.
Very selfish. Maybe he's not interested, though. It's kind of fair. He doesn't have to do anything he's not comfortable with.
Mm.
So, you know.
It makes this next point tough to say, Steve, but it's official. We hate Mr. Darcy.
Okay, well, fair enough. I'm just saying that, like, you know, you can't go around telling people to dance with other people if they don't want to.
I'm just saying.
The party line is he's not a nice guy. I get it. And probably he's not. But I'm just saying it's actually fine.
Fine.
He's an awful guy.
It's
though.
Interesting to have that. Well, the next bit is Mr. Darcy kills them all.
Okay.
It's not.
You know what?
It's of course not. But it does get worse. Mrs. Bingley hates Mr. Darcy the most.
Right. Okay.
She really hates him.
Okay.
One of Darcy's mates is telling him he should dance with a lady, and she overhears this. I certainly shall not. You know how I detest it, unless I am particularly acquainted with my partner. At such an assembly as this, it would be insupportable. Your sisters are engaged, and there is not another woman in the room whom it would not be a punishment to me to stand up with.
Well... Is he lacking in confidence?
He's too hot.
But he's saying it, but maybe he's very bad at dancing and he's embarrassed.
He could be embarrassed or he could be evil.
Okay, I can see where this is going.
No, but I don't think it's fair to have both on the table.
Yeah, but I mean, I know you're trying to lead me in a certain direction. But just from what I'm hearing, it sounds like he's quite shy.
Well, he's also watching Mr. Bingley do 17 backflips whilst doing the Macarena.
Twice. Exactly. Mr. Bingley's got fire coming out of his mouth and he's hanging off the ceiling and he's doing splits on the wall.
That's fair. You know. Yeah, that would be intimidating. At this point, Mr. Bennett essentially pleads with Mr. Darcy to dance with one of his daughters.
Okay.
And Mr. Darcy says no.
Fair enough. I'm saying it's fair enough.
No, I don't want to.
Yeah.
They're ugly and I hate them.
No, he didn't say that though, did he?
He does say no though. However, one of the daughters, Lizzie, is near these two lads when they're chatting. And I feel like there's a bit of tension here now because this is what Mr. Darcy says. Very interesting.
Okay.
He looks at Lizzie, one of Mr. Bennett's daughters. She is tolerable, but not handsome enough to tempt me.
Okay, this is bad.
I am in no humour at present to give consequence to young ladies who are slighted by other men. You had better return to your partner and enjoy her smiles, for you are wasting your time with me.
Look, that's not very nice.
He's negged her.
He's been rude.
He's been rude.
And mean, but he's not leading anyone on, at least. As if you were looking for some small... positive thing to say about that, I don't know why you would.
Mm.
At least he's being honest with his emotions.
Being honest, he's being cruel.
In an incredibly mean way. Right, though. He is being neggy in the sort of like...
playground style.
Like that book, like...
Yeah, how to get a date if you're a loser, that book.
Yeah.
Wasn't that party fun, hey?
I had a good time.
They danced, didn't they?
Mr. Bingley's dancing was something else.
It was incredible.
Off they go on King Nigel, I assume.
Now, Steve, that party may have seemed like an abject failure for marrying off daughters.
Yeah.
But actually, one of the daughters, Jane, deserves a special mention here because she danced with Mr. Bingley not once, but twice.
Wow.
Well done,
All I
Jane.
Can say is wow. It's just to keep pace with Mr. Bingley as well shows such athleticism. And if she can win the race, then surely the marriage is assured. We know that Lizzie's the fast runner.
She's fast, but she's not a dancer.
Maybe Jane's much better at gymnastics and backflips and stuff. So where will it go?
Where will it go? The girls did well. Everyone loved them at the party, apart from Mr. Darcy, the evil monster. But they did well. They were received well. They looked good. They danced well. They're quick runners.
Good news.
Maybe Jane and Bingers, maybe they get married. Who knows? Okay. They might do. They danced twice.
Yeah, well, that seems like a good reason to marry someone.
Mr. and Mrs. Bennet are chatting about the incredible evening. The dancing of Jane twice.
Good.
With Mr. Bing and all of the other memories.
Which, such as?
Mr. Sorry. Bingley doing the Macarena upside down on a chandelier.
I will never forget that.
I'll never, ever forget that.
Yeah, I will never forget that.
And we end this special episode.
Wait, nothing's happened, Will. What are you talking about?
How much of the book was I supposed to read? I read three chapters.
Happened.
You see why I was really pushing the party?
Nothing's happened.
Oh, how dare you? How dare you?
I love it. But this is what the start of War and Peace was like as well. Same. We had chapters and chapters and chapters where nothing happened.
Months. It went on for months.
All right, go on then.
Mr. and Mrs. Bennet are chatting about Jane dancing twice.
Yes, yes.
Which is a huge success.
Uh-huh.
But, of course, they're also remembering the awful, awful, evil Mr. Darcy. And we end on Mrs. Bennet summarising Mr. Darcy. But I can assure you that Lizzie does not lose much by not suiting his fancy. For he is a most disagreeable, horrid man, not at all worth pleasing. So high, so conceited, there was no enduring him. He walked here and he walked there, fancying himself so very great, not handsome enough to dance with. I wish you had been there, my dear, to have given him one of your set-downs. I quite detest the man.
Oh, that is pretty damning.
Boom.
I gave him a bit of...
The benefit of the doubt.
I gave him the benefit.
Work it
bingy,
in.
Bingy fit. There's no...
Bennet of the Darcy.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, look, I gave him the benefit of the doubt. It does sound like that Mrs. Bennet has got a better reading on him.
Mr. Darcy should look out. Bennet's coming for him.
I just have to say,
hey,
so very little happened.
When I was reading, I was like, surely I can't be reading chapter 4 as well.
Yeah. But what was it like to read the prose, Will?
It felt a lot like the beginning of War and Peace.
Oh.
But the difference between the authors is that where Tolstoy spends a lot of time talking about people's hands.
Yes.
Jane Austen spends a lot of time talking about how old and wealthy people are.
It's spectacular literary analysis, Will. thank you so
what
much.
What more did you want?
No, thank you so much for your deep,
pleasure.
Your deep insights.
It's a pleasure.
If anyone was, you know, looking for a compelling critique.
If you're writing an essay,
literary styles, yeah. If you're writing an essay, there's your answers of Tolstoy, Jane Austen.
Yep.
That's what it comes down to. So thank you so much for your deep, deep insights.
It's
there,
a pleasure. Will.
Really very revealing.
No worries.
Okay. Incredible stuff.
It's the summary. Steve, how are you getting on, buddy?
I'm ready, mate. I'm ready to summarize. There wasn't very much to go on, but I've managed to do it.
Fantastic. Okay, Steve, we've got 10 seconds on the clock. 3, 2, 1.
Mr. Bingley does a backflip. He's the new boy in town. Who will be his wife? Will it be a Bennet child? We've got Lizzie, Jane, Lydia and Kitty. King Nigel has arrived and he's brought a friend. Mr. Darcy's handsome, mean, and
beep.
He won't dance.
Beep.
Mr. Hurst is there beep. For some reason.
Beep.
Who will win sports day? The question.
Beep, beep, beep. Steve, well done. What was the title?
The title was Mr. Bingley Does a Backflip.
He did.
And he did. That's one thing we can say for sure. He did do a backflip.
He did.
Incredible backflip.
We've really set up the book there. You know, all of the seeds, as we said, planted, as we also said.
Yes, yes, yes. They, I assume, will grow into...
Trees.
Interesting story trees.
They will. And that horse, what was the horse called? King Nigel.
I'm sure he'll have a lot of role in this, probably.
He will. And of course, there's Darcy. Evil Mr. Darcy.
Probably evil. And you mentioned Mr. Hurst. I realised as I was summarising.
Yes.
But we never hear anything from Mr. Hurst. What's the mysterious Mr. Hurst going to bring to the tale?
Well, exactly. And I would say on that, find out next week, but you absolutely won't.
Well, of course, if you enjoy these special episodes, they're always a bit of an experiment.
They are.
It's fun for us to do something different occasionally. If you enjoy these special episodes, do let us know. Do let us know if there's other things you'd like us to summarise as well.
And who knows, if our Patreon is successful enough, we will be able to do things like this, to make these into full shows. Maybe Pride and Prejudice, maybe Lord of the Flies, maybe something else.
Whatever you like.
Whatever you like. And the best way... for you to have your say, is to get involved. Head over to patreon.com/WAPIN7 and support the show. Honestly, every penny counts.
I mean, if you can be as generous as Will, he's going to give me one penny.
I am.
For guessing that. And if you can beat Will and give more than one penny to support this this project, then that would be amazing. Look, I'm going to just say thank you for listening to this special episode.
Same.
It's been great. I've had a lot of fun.
I've had a lot of fun. We'll see you when we see you.
See you in a few weeks.
Bye-bye now.